In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
What if we started to live as though we have everything we need without everything we have? Every year on the first Sunday of Lent, we hear the story of Jesus's temptation in the wilderness from either Matthew, Mark, or Luke. One trajectory many preachers take on this Sunday is this: Jesus was tempted in every way, as we are. But as a mother of two children in elementary school who had science fair projects due this week, I'm not entirely sure that is true. So instead, I want to talk about what Jesus was teaching us in the desert by his 40-day journey. Before Jesus was baptized, or after Jesus, just after Jesus was baptized, and before he began his earthly ministry, the Holy Spirit led him into the desert. God led Jesus to this place. And it was there that the devil, which I think is the shadow of God's goodness, the choice to rely on oneself and one's own power rather than God's power, tempted Jesus to be less than what he really was. So let's explore that. That first temptation: Jesus is human, he's in the desert, there's nothing to eat, he's hungry. And the devil urges him, use your power to just take care of your needs, to be sure you get what you want. In this case, turn stones into bread when he wanted bread. And then there's that second temptation: throw yourself off a cliff. Use your power to impress people rather than to love and forgive people. And the third, become the king of the world. Insist that everyone do what he wants. Claim his power. Enforce it. I think the point of this was for Jesus to be who God made him to be, in human flesh, most fully, in spite of the human temptations to abuse this freedom and power and to be less than fully God. What it means to be human is to bear the image of God in flesh. This is what Jesus is. So how do we bear the image of God in the flesh? Well, this year's Lenten journey, year A, is the year we are in the lectionary cycle. It offers us an opportunity to juxtapose the journey of Jesus with the people of faith from the first people in the Garden of Eden on through Abraham, Moses, and the prophets. We also find in today's lectionary the beginning of time, with Adam and Eve in the garden. God's given them everything they could ever imagine having. And instead of believing all of this life is a gift from God, and we have everything we need, the serpent plants this idea: God is holding out on you. What more can you have than everything? And Adam and Eve hear that serpent speak and are like, yeah, this does look good. And of course it looks good. The garden with everything God gave them looks good. And so does that tree that God tells them to avoid. God made all of it. So they start to ask, what more can we have for ourselves? Now, later in the Old Testament, we hear read less in church, but those in the first and second chapters of Judges, the Spirit of God is with the people of Israel, like the Spirit of God was with the people, first people in Genesis. And the Spirit of God is with these people in victories. And as they grow more victorious and more secure, they stop depending on God. And they start making deals with other people. It's a subtle shift. This is what Eve does in the garden. Instead of trusting that God has given her everything she needs, she trusts in her judgment. She trusts in this voice from the serpent. And Adam, instead of trusting God, trusts that his partner's experience is more trustworthy than God's instruction. Instead of allowing God to keep the seat of power, Adam and Eve seize it for themselves. So how do these temptations relate to us today? And what is the contrary action we must take if we're going to allow God to be in control rather than us? Well, let's focus on Jesus' first temptation. He's human. He's out in the desert, and there's nothing to eat. And the devil urges him to use his power just to take care of his own needs, to make sure he gets what he wants. In our worship life, in our life in the church, we are constantly tempted and even encouraged by our culture these days to serve our own needs and desires rather than to seek what God desires so that we might serve Jesus. People leaving the church say, "I'm not getting fed there." Instead of asking, "How can I feed others?" If you are spiritually hungry, another question to ask is, "What am I doing to be fed? Do I actually show up to worship, both physically and mentally? Am I intentional about praying? Do I ever read scripture? And am I open to new ways to understand?" Sometimes people leave worship when it doesn't entertain them. Experiencing the presence of God in worship is beyond what makes us feel good. It's about growing in faith. And sometimes I think we actually need stones rather than bread. Contrast Jesus's temptation with Adam and Eve's temptation. While Jesus had no food, Adam and Eve had everything. While Jesus was operating on an empty stomach, Adam and Eve were full. They had no want, no need. And the temptation was to move beyond God's provision to seek more. This is the reality that Adam and Eve faced in the bountiful garden that Jesus faced in the barren wilderness. And actually, when it comes to living fully as a child of God, it really doesn't matter what your external circumstances are. It doesn't matter if you are richly blessed and if you have an abundance of resources and relationship and church is just the most wonderful thing in your life, or if you're poor and friendless and have struggled greatly and the church is a challenging place for you. Either way, to be human, and even to be Jesus, God in human flesh, it means to seek the temptation to seek our own will rather than God's, no matter our circumstances. The great temptation is to use God's gift of freedom to do whatever we want to do and be whatever we want to be rather than to seek after what God would have us to do and who God would have us to be. James Finley, a student of Thomas Merton, wrote in a Lenten reflection in 2017, "Our deepest freedom rests not in our freedom to do what we want to do, but rather in our freedom to become who God wills us to be." The reality is, we live in a modern day Garden of Eden. We have more resources, conveniences, and luxuries than at any other time in the world. We have clean water and abundant food and access to health care. And so also do we have the temptation of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, with the ubiquitous nature of the internet, the ability to manipulate DNA, and access to artificial intelligence, along with the ability to see structural inequalities related to wealth distribution as members of a global society. So perhaps it's more important than ever for us to follow Jesus into the desert, to intentionally set aside some of the idols that so easily fill our days and tempt us to believe that we don't actually need God, and to return to the original purpose and hope of the freedom with which God gifted us. So what are we to do in response to all of this? So often we begin Lent with an examination on our failings. We set intentions, maybe to eat more healthily or to refrain from social media or to speak kinder words. And all of that may well lead us to be closer to God. But it can also lead us to a sense of self-assuredness that believes we can do it all ourselves, or that what we do is who we are. So what if we responded this Lent instead to the places where we think we're most in control? The places where we feel like we're in charge. Where's the place you feel most secure? What is the temptation of this security to claim it as self-made? This is the place that the Holy Spirit leads us as members of the church through this season of Lent. What if we started to live as though we have everything we need without everything we have? St. Gregory of Nyssa spoke to this 17 centuries ago when he preached, "Our greatest protection is self-knowledge, and to avoid the delusion that we are seeing ourselves when we are in reality looking at something else." This is what happens to those who do not scrutinize themselves. What they see is strength, beauty, reputation, political power, abundant wealth, pomp, self-importance, bodily stature, a certain grace of form or the like. And they think that this is what they are. Such persons make poor guardians of themselves because of their absorption in something else they overlook. What is their own, and they leave it unguarded. How can a person protect what he does not know? The most secure protection for our treasure is to know ourselves. Each one must know himself as he is and distinguish himself from all that he is not, that he may not unconsciously be protecting something else instead of himself. What if we started to live as though we have everything we need without everything we have? God is calling us to live fully into who God created us to be. And it just begins with letting go of everything that you have been told that you are. Amen.